We're in Ruth, of all books. So the book of Ruth, some of you might have to look in your index to find it. It is in the Old Testament. And we're going to look primarily at chapter 1 this morning. But it's one of those books that's not where you expect it to be. Because you expect it to be pushed up over against like the Psalms and the Proverbs, but it's not. It's after the book of Judges, tucked in between Judges and 1 Samuel, if that helps. So we're looking at Ruth chapter 1 this morning, beginning in verse 1. The Bible says, "It came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, the name of his wife Naomi, the name of his two sons Mahlon and Chilion, Ephratites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons, and they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them, and the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. And she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her. And they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, Go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, ye have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, Surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, Turn again, my daughters. Why will ye go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb, that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, go your way. For I am too old to have an husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have an husband also tonight, and should also bear sons, would ye tarry for them till they were grown? Would you stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. And they lifted up their voice and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, Behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, Entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. So they two went until they came to Bethlehem, and it came to pass, when they were come to Bethlehem, that all the city was moved about them, and they said, Is this Naomi? And she said unto them, Call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. So we'll stop there. The title of the message is, The Almighty Hath Afflicted Me. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you'd use your word in our lives this morning to teach and grow us. Lord, I pray the Holy Spirit would have free course in every heart. Lord, you'd give us your wisdom. Lord, that you be glorified in this service. We love you. We pray all this in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So we can see that Naomi had gone through some heavy trials. She'd lost her husband. She lost both of her sons. And her response to those trials was not the type of response that God expects or desires from his children. And we can learn from that this morning that she even wanted the people to change her name from Naomi to Mara. And the word Mara means bitter. So she wasn't hiding the fact that she was bitter against God, that she was very upset about what had happened in her life. And she was essentially blaming God for what she believed to be God being cruel or unkind to her. And this is how she chose to respond. So we can learn a lot from Naomi this morning, and hopefully learn how not to respond to trials. So we see, first of all, there in verse 20, that she said, "Call me Mara." In other words, people that are bitter or are angry against God often even revel in that bitterness and that anger. And you've met people like that. They're angry at God for what He's done or allowed in their lives, and they live in that. It becomes part of their person, who they are. This anger about these trials that have happened in their lives. And that's a choice, how we choose to respond, isn't it? Now, the trials we can't control. The trials that God allows to come into our lives, we can't control when people die. We can't control when we lose our job. We can't control when the car breaks down. But we can control our response. And that was the problem here, is she chose to respond with bitterness, with anger, with essentially blaming God. And you know what? The Bible says that God hates bitterness, this kind of bitterness. There's a passage in Numbers 11, if you would turn there, please. Now, this is from the life of the nation of Israel, but what we find as we look at Israel and their journeys out of Egypt on their way to the Promised Land, that the thing that angered God more than anything else was whenever they got angry at God, whenever they murmured, whenever they complained, that angered God more than anything. Notice Numbers 11, verse 1. When the people complained, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it, and His anger was kindled. Why was His anger kindled? Because the people complained. Now, if you turn over to Numbers 14, just a couple chapters over, and by the way, these are just a couple of examples, but there are plenty of examples from Israel's history. Notice Numbers 14 and verse 1. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and all the people wept that night. And the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, "Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in the wilderness." And they had to be punished again, if you read on in the story. But people who are bitter against God, it becomes part of their lives. And it's not what God wants. And they almost revel in their bitterness. We're told in Philippians 2:14, do all things without murmuring. Now, murmuring doesn't have to be vocal. But even if it's just in your heart, God hears it. If you complain about the trial, if you murmur that God is being mean to you, cruel to you, God hears it. And, you know, she wasn't doing it in her heart. She was doing it out loud. Call me Mara. Call me bitter. And if you go to Hebrews 12, the Bible teaches that bitterness is like a cancer. It actually affects not only us and changes our lives, but it even affects the people around us. And we all know this to be true. If you've ever been around a bitter person, someone who's angry about their circumstances, angry about what's happened in their lives, and they're essentially blaming God, they may not be saying it, but they are blaming God, and they're angry at God, and it comes out in their behavior and their demeanor, and it affects those around them. Notice Hebrews chapter 12, the Bible says, verse 15, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. So notice the Bible says that bitterness can even defile others. And we know this to be true. That when we are bitter, it will affect those around us. But moving on in our passage, Ruth chapter 1, we see first of all that she was openly bitter against God. But second of all, in verse 20, the reason that she was bitter is because she believed that God was being cruel. Notice it says, "For the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me." So she's essentially saying, God has been cruel to me. And I didn't deserve it, or however she chooses to look at it. But remember when she was first speaking to her daughters-in-law up in verse 13, at the end of the verse she said, "For your sakes, agree with me thus for your sakes, that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me." Against me. In other words, God is against me. God is attacking me. God is hurting me on purpose. But this isn't what God does. God is never cruel to His children. Does He allow trials? Absolutely. Are some of them intense? Yes. But it's not cruelty. It's God's will. And God has a purpose behind it. But a person who says, "The Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me," first of all, they're being very self-centered, are they not? They're saying that the one who made the entire universe has made it a project to be mean to me specifically. Think about that. It's quite self-centered when you think about it. It's all about me. That God's being mean to me. When God isn't that way, then the Bible says that we're not to be self-centered. And so we see that people believe that God is actually cruel to them. But we see in verse 21, she says, "I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty." People who are bitter also look through their life situation through bitter eyes or a bitter filter. Because what she's saying is, "God hath brought me home empty." In other words, I have nothing. And as we're going to see, that was nothing could be further from the truth. But that was her perspective. Look at Psalm 34, if you would. And I want us to see the contrast to this perspective that the Lord has been mean to me, or the Lord have taken everything away. And it, by the way, if anybody could make that claim, it would be Job. Because Job didn't just lose his spouse and his children, he lost his entire living and his health as well. And he said, "The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." I'm not going to blame God. I'm not going to get angry at God. I may not understand it, but I'm not going to blame God. But she was blaming God. Notice Psalm 34:8. "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is" what? "Good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him." But once you're bitter, you see everything through that filter, and now your perspective is, "I have nothing. Everybody's against me. Even God's against me." And that was her perspective. And yet, if you go to back to Ruth, look at chapter 2. Later on in her situation, after she went back to Bethlehem. Anybody ever heard of a place called Bethlehem, by the way? We'll talk more about that later. But yes, it's the same Bethlehem. Notice Ruth chapter 2, verse 11. "Boaz answered and said unto her, It hath been fully showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother in the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore." So the whole town could see how kind Ruth was being to Naomi. And then over in chapter 3, over in verse 11, it says, "And now, my daughter, fear not, I will do to thee all that thou requirest, for all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman." This is talking to Ruth, her daughter-in-law. Really kind of her ex-daughter-in-law, because her son's dead. But she stayed with her, as we saw. And we read that passage that many people actually put in their weddings. But if you take it in context, it was Ruth speaking to Naomi, her mother-in-law. And yet it's a beautiful truth. She said, I'm going to go where you go. I'm going to die where you die. Your God's going to be my God. In other words, I've decided no longer to worship the false gods of my people, but I'm going to worship the God of the Bible, the Judean God, Jehovah, and I'm going to stick with you. No matter what. And I'm going to go back to Bethlehem, even though I'm a Moabite, even though I'm a Gentile. And the Moabites attacked Israel after they came out of Egypt and were held in disdain by the Jewish people. She said, I'm still going to go back to Bethlehem with you. I don't know what the Lord has planned, but that's what I'm going to do. And so we see, first of all, people that are bitter, it affects their entire demeanor. We see also that people that are bitter believe that God is actually being cruel to them. And then we see, thirdly, there in verse 21, that they look at their whole situation through bitter eyes. The Lord hath brought me home empty. On down to verse 21, then in chapter 1. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me? So now she's not only saying that the Lord is taking everything away from me, but she's saying that the Lord hath actually testified against me. In other words, the Lord is now my enemy. In fact, she said up in verse 13, the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. Folks, that never happens to God's children. Even when we need chastisement because of our disobedience, that is not the Lord going against us. That is the Lord doing what is best for us, just as a parent does for their child. The Bible says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. When God chastens us, He's doing it in love. He's not doing it because He hates us or is being mean to us. He's doing it because He cares about us. But when we're bitter, we see things in the wrong light, just as she was. You know, the Bible says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. The Bible tells us, the Lord is on my side, I will not fear. We're never to fear because God's on our side. So we see that God hates bitterness, and yet Naomi had chosen to call herself bitter. She had chosen to believe that God was being cruel to her and to see everything through this filter of bitterness, and then to even say that God was actually out against her. And then in verse 21, and the Almighty hath afflicted me. So like I said at the beginning, we cannot control our circumstances. We cannot control the trials that are going to come into our lives, when they're going to happen, how intense they're going to be. We just can't control these things, but we can control our response. We can choose to be like Naomi and say, call me bitter, call me angry at God. God's being mean to me, God's mistreating me, God's taking everything away from me. Or we can choose to respond as God would have us to respond and to understand that God always does what's best for us. And let's look at an example in Paul, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Most of you know the passage. Now Paul, though we look at him as one of the greatest Christians ever, and he was, Paul went through an amazing long list of intense trials in his Christian life. Shipwrecked, stoned. They thought he was dead when he was stoned. In many prisons, been beaten with whips, got a snake bite. I mean, the list just goes on. This is Paul. And he also had a thorn. Now, we don't know what it was, but it was intense enough that Paul actually asked God three times to please take it away, here in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And God's response, verse 9, He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. So this is God speaking to Paul. It says, Paul, essentially, no, I'm not going to take your thorn away. Now right here, Paul has a decision to make. God says, you're going to have to deal with the thorn. I'm not taking it away. We don't know what it was, but Paul could have gotten angry like Naomi did and said, well, Lord, I'm your missionary. I'm your church planter. I'm out here serving you with my life. Why wouldn't you take this thorn away? It's hindering me from being the best missionary I could be. Or he could choose to respond like he did and say, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. He said, basically, now I understand that God wants me to have this thorn because it's good for me. So the thorn didn't change, but his perspective changed. He started off saying, please take it away because it's bad for me. And he changed his perspective by saying, now I understand that it's good for me. Naomi needed a perspective change, didn't she? She had been through some intense trials, and she chose to say, God is mean to me, God is being cruel to me, God is against me, and I'm bitter and I'm angry at God. She could have chosen to say, God's in control, He has a purpose. But that's not what she chose to do. Again, we mentioned Job earlier. Job said, when you have tried me, I shall come forth as gold. That's quite a perspective to take when you've lost your children, your living, and your health, like Job did. I don't know what God's doing. I don't know why, but I know that God's in control, and I know that God's going to do what He believes is best. I'm going to trust Him. He said, though He slay me, yet will I trust in Him. And then one other verse, 1 Peter chapter 1, if you would turn there. The Bible talks about our faith being tried. If you're born again this morning, God's going to try your faith. So accept that it's going to happen, and when it does, you can choose how to respond. You can respond like Naomi, or you can respond like Paul. Notice 1 Peter 1:7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. God's just refining you. God's just trying to make you more like Jesus. You're going to heaven either way. Amen? And when we get to heaven, the Bible says that we're going to look back. Paul says, I reckon the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. When we get to heaven, we're going to look back and say, that trial wasn't as bad as I thought it was at the time. And I'm not trying to diminish the pain of losing loved ones. Please don't misunderstand. It's just all how we choose to respond to our Heavenly Father when those things happen. We can get angry, we can get bitter, like Naomi did, or we can accept them and trust our Lord like Job and Paul did. So go back to our passage. I want to show you something. Despite her bad attitude, if you want to call it that, and her wrong response to trials, God gave her this little daughter-in-law called Ruth, who chose to come back with her. And notice in verse 22, it says the word Bethlehem. Now that is the same Bethlehem. We know that because it says Bethlehem, Judah. So this is the Bethlehem in the province of Judah. And it is the same Bethlehem where someone we know quite well was born. Amen? Hundreds of years later, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it says there, Bethlehem. Now, if you go over to chapter 4, we can't go through the whole story because we don't have time, but Ruth, because she had married Naomi's son, now had the privilege or right, if you want to call it that, to call upon what they call her kinsman redeemer, to ask him to marry her, to carry on the Naomi seed. It was an Old Testament way of doing things. We can't quite relate in our culture. But anyway, the Lord worked it all out that one of the top men of the city named Boaz agreed to marry her and to carry on Naomi's husband's seed. And notice verse 13, Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And when he went unto her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. And the women said unto Naomi, Blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life, and a nourisher of thine old age, for thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons, hath borne him. So these women are speaking to Naomi, who's changed her name to Bitter, and they say that Ruth is better to you than seven sons. Think about that. Verse 16, And Naomi took the child and laid it in her bosom and became nurse unto it. And this technically wasn't even her grandchild. but Ruth allowed her to treat it as her grandchild. And this little boy had a name. It says, verse 17, they called him Obed. Most of us haven't heard of Obed. But most of us have heard of a guy named Jesse, his son. And we've definitely heard of Obed's grandson's name, which was David. King David, the greatest king Israel ever had, became, and that means Ruth became part of the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Think about that. In the flesh, I mean. So I'd call that a turnaround in the story. She started off saying, the Lord hath dealt bitterly with me. God's against me. Changed my name to bitter. I have nothing left. To taking this little child in her bosom and her ex-daughter-in-law, allowing her to treat it as her own grandson. And this is in a place called Bethlehem. Then that grandson becomes the grandfather of King David. So look what God did for Naomi, who wanted to be called bitter, or Mara. We all need to keep that perspective. Our God is good all the time. Yes, there's going to be trials. Yes, we may not understand all of them, the purpose. We're not going to know how long they're going to last. We're not going to know how intense they're going to be. But we can always trust our God that He's doing what He believes is best. That all things really do work together for good to them that love God. And believe it and live it. And God blesses. And like I say, we're going to heaven either way. So we need to learn, like Paul, to accept the trials as part of God's plan, part of God's will. And if the devil tempts us to get angry or bitter at God, don't listen. Amen? Don't let it happen. Nothing angers God like when we turn back and murmur and complain against Him. Because we're essentially, blasphemously attacking His character. That's truly what we're doing. We're saying that God isn't holy and righteous and good. That God is actually mean and cruel. And He never is. So she said, the Almighty hath afflicted me. Yes, God had allowed affliction in her lives, or in her life, but we can choose how we respond. With bitterness or with trust. Let's pray. Lord, I want to thank You for this.